Wolf, and Luke.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Ron Wolfley.
This is going to make me look kind of freaky.
Luke Lipinski.
The great Luke Lipinski.
Devaluing the word great if you follow for Luke Lipinski.
Wolf and Luke. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Yeah, see, now they're showing the Suns on TV. Did you see the notes from that streak, Wolf? 14 different teams beaten. By the way, the streak is still going. I it's hard to talk about a 17-game winning streak in present tense because you want to look back at, like, well, look at all the stuff they did. It's still going. But 12 wins against teams that are 500 or better, which I don't think a lot of people realize.
Wow. And, wow. You know what? I did not know that.
Yeah, because you kind of look and you're like, oh, they played Houston a bunch of times. I mean, they played them twice.
Right, exactly. Well, the Pelicans are...
Yeah, they're not, you know, they're not one of those 12 teams.
All right. But still, man, that's awesome. You're saying 12 teams with 500 or better records.
That's what they just flashed on that screen right
there. Wow, that is nasty.
The best stat, though, Devin Booker tweeted out.
That feels so good.
Booker's stat that he tweeted out last night, no loss November. I just go through a whole month in the middle of the NBA season without losing a game.
And alliteration.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the alliteration.
That's huge.
Yeah.
No loss November.
Some people have no shave November.
Yeah.
The Phoenix Suns have no loss November.
This should be a tradition. They should start it this year and keep it going. Over to football, where Kyler Murray has spoken today, and you can imagine most of the questions were about his health, and so let's start there.
How does your ankle feel right now? Are you close to 100%?
I don't know about the percentages. I feel good, though.
How confident are you? I mean, how many times he's told us he feels good.
It feels good.
How confident are you you're going to play against Chicago?
Pretty confident you're going to play Sunday.
Hopeful, yeah.
Hopeful. That's exactly the terminology Cliff has used as well. Hopeful.
I love how, so the NFL injury report had probable, questionable, doubtful, and then ultimately out, right?
Yeah,
and they got
right.
rid of probable this year.
Sure.
But the Cardinals have created hopeful.
Yeah.
Like when you ask Cliff, hey, are you going to have Kyler or DeAndre Hopkins back this weekend? Yeah, we hope to have him back.
Yeah.
Well, I know you want them back. They're two of the best players in the NFL.
Right.
Are they going to play?
Well, you know, he gave you something, didn't he? He answered your question.
Yeah,
hopeful that they're going to play, of course.
Now he's got Kyler using that terminology.
But again, why would you? And we all understand the game. Why would you say anything that you don't need to say? He's not necessarily lying. Because you know what? Kyler could go out there and tweak that thing. So could D-Hop. He could tweak that thing if he went full speed. See, the fact that we're even going to try to go full speed, to me, that was the thing I locked on yesterday. It really encouraged me, the fact that we're even going to try to do it. Because that obviously means to me they're healthy enough to go full speed. And if they can go full speed, well, you know what? Unless they tweak it in a weird kind of way. Please don't do that, D-Hop.
I'm hopeful you don't do that.
Yeah. I see what you
need. Need to speak the Cardinals'
exactly,
language.
I'm hopeful that they don't do that. But yeah, I fully expect them to play.
Can I do that next time we have to do preseason predictions? Like, what do you think the Cardinals are going to do this season? Well, I'm hopeful they go 17-0 and sweep through the playoffs.
Right, and Basinonians, by the way, I've said that for 2 weeks now. Of course he's good to play. Just for the record. And I don't know, honestly. I don't ask. I don't want to know. I know this. Well, it was an ankle. It was a sprain. You know what? That could have been 2 weeks. 2 weeks right there. After 2 weeks, you start going, what kind of cartilage damage did you do? What kind of tendon did you tear? None, because he didn't have any surgery. So for me, you know, again, he's got an ankle. He'll be back. He'll be ready to go. Right, Kyler?
So tomorrow will be 5 weeks since he hurt it. Now, there's a bye week in there. I mean, understand, again, like we were saying earlier, as long as he plays on Sunday, I don't think there's anything to worry about. If he doesn't play on Sunday, then it's like, okay, wait a minute. The bye week should have been enough to...
Yeah.
I'm kind of operating under the assumption he could have played against Seattle if it was a playoff game, but why rush him back with the bye, and then you get the bye week? But now... As of tomorrow, it's been 5 weeks. If he doesn't play on Sunday, we're going 6.5 weeks.
So did anybody ask Kyler Murray what he did over the bye? Like, I'd love to know. Was he in Houston over the bye? Did he go to Texas? Did he go home? Did he stay here?
Well, they asked him if the bye week helped.
I mean, just doing treatment and, you know, being around the family, getting to watch football and stuff like that. It was good to have, you know, a couple of days off.
Does that answer your question?
No, not really.
At first,
it sounded like, you know, getting treatment.
Yeah.
He was getting treatment.
Yeah.
See, if he was getting treatment, that tells me he's still hurt. Okay, I'm just saying.
Okay.
You know what? If you're cleared, if you would have been cleared to practice, hey, look, everybody, I'm fine. The fact that he was getting treatment. Yeah.
Don't point things out like that.
Well, again, I'm just saying. I'm going on the record. Maybe he was just getting treatment and he didn't need. I don't care. This ankle feels great. Stick it in a bucket of ice anyways, because I'm not going anywhere.
Well, if it helps.
He hates the bye. Remember
he does hate the bye.
He hates the bye.
He's been very clear about that.
So you know what? He wasn't going to be one of those guys that was going to go to Cancun.
No, I don't. No, I can't imagine Kyler going to Cancun.
Hey, let's go to Rocky
season.
Point or something. No, that was not going to be Kyler Murray. He hates the bye. So he probably said, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to go into the trainers. That's what I'm going
to
do.
What was the voice you used? Hey, everybody, look how good. If somebody came up to me like that, I'd be like, you need to go into the trainer's room. You don't sound fine, even though you're telling me you're fine. You sound like the opposite of fine.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's just that when I say something ridiculous, I have to say it in a different voice for some reason.
I'm not here to judge. I mean, I am, but not right now.
This is ridiculous.
If somebody showed up like that, I'd be like, get in the trainer's room.
Yeah.
I have more Kyler sound. We'll play it later because Kellen Olsen's going to join us next to talk about the Phoenix Suns. I don't know if you noticed this, Wolf. They've won 17 in a row.
Yeah.
And Kellen's been covering this team since they struggled to win 17 games a year. So this is we're going to have Kellen on next.
He's going to gloat.
He's as much as Kellen is capable of gloating. That's next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Wolf and Luke Middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
All right, welcome back to the show. Joining us on the 72-sold sports line right now is our own Phoenix Suns guru, Kellen Olsen. Kellen, what was your reaction by the time the clock struck zero in that game last night?
Just like many others, I think that the Suns are the best team in the league right now. A lot can change over the course of a full season, and we'll see where the development is at. But right now, at the quarter point of the NBA season, I think the Suns have undoubtedly proven they're the best. They just beat the best team in the East on the second game of a back-to-back, end of a four-game road trip, end of a stretch of 15 games in 26 days, and then they finally get 2 days off for the first time in a month and then beat the best team in the NBA at that point, and the Warriors, and pretty, I don't want to say handedly, but pretty impressively with Devin Booker missing over half the game.
You know, go big picture on the Phoenix Suns right now and tell me, how did they get here, Kellen? How did they get here where they've won 17 games in a row and then just beat the best team in the association? How did all this happen?
Yeah, I think it's not hard to take it back to the bubble where sort of this whole team building process for Monty Williams really got, I don't want to say underway, but just really got to the point where it was a huge plus for this team and how close they were getting and everything that they went through in the bubble during that time that a lot of us went through in their own lives. They just went through it with each other for a month, and it really changed the dynamic of the young guys, especially that young core. And then Chris Paul comes in and changes everything. I just think they're benefiting so much from continuity, and we're seeing it across the league. I know Milwaukee got off to a slow start, but I believe they're 7-0 in their last seven games, and they're starting to get healthy. And you just kind of look across the league at the teams that are struggling, like the Lakers, who are trying to implement a couple new pieces. They lost a lot of parts of their team last year. Golden State mostly brought back everyone from last year, and you just look at who's at the top of the standings, like Chicago and Washington are the only real surprises that aren't benefiting off of continuity now. And with the short turnaround that all these teams have had, those teams I thought were always going to be the best at the start and just have like really just an added bonus that no other teams could have. And I think the Suns had the most minutes returning from last year, so they were going to get the most continuity, and it's certainly shown so far.
Talking to Kellen Olsen, you can read his stuff, of course, on ArizonaSports.com. Kellen, how different does this Suns team look to you today than they did, you know, a month ago at the start of this streak?
way different, and I thought the way you were going to phrase the question was compared to last year, and that's where I would say not all that different, which is what you want to hear, because they were an excellent basketball team last year. I hesitate to say if they're better than last year so far. I think that's where everyone naturally wants to take the conversation to start being more grandiose about it and just start making more proclamations like these guys are. Now everyone wants to talk about them like a title contender like we were locally all of last year. Everyone wants to have that conversation nationally now. I think that they've got a couple more steps left in terms of implementing new pieces, but I think the thing that's so interesting about last night's development with Devin Booker coming out is that a guy like Landry Shamet, for example, is going to have to come in and get like 25, 28, 30 minutes a game now and really start to get used to the system that he has, I think, in the first 20 games. But they're still working on getting him together. And we've seen the boost that they've already gotten from JaVale McGee in the second unit. But I think Shamet is another piece coming to them. And just the starters in general, again, last year when they started 8-8, it was the bench carrying them. The starters had a negative net rating together, which makes no sense because it's arguably the best starting lineup in basketball. They really fixed that towards the end of the year. And then this year they're on that way again during this win streak, but they still have a little bit of a ways to go in that regard. And all of that's rather exciting to discuss because, like I said, they're the best team in the league right now, but I think they have clear points of improvement to come.
What do you think DeAndre Ayton is becoming, Kellen?
I think that Wolf is becoming a guy that's more aware, and you can take that in a lot of different ways. I think the first one is that on the floor he's aware, because when we were having conversations on this radio station, like I've talked about DeAndre countless times on here, and the conversation just always comes back to him having a certain mindset and playing with a certain level of energy and attitude and emphasis in his game, right? The thing that we wanted to see from him. But I think what we got lost on in those conversations is that a lot of the time it helps when he knows where to implement that energy. And that just comes from floor sense and experience and awareness. And I think that awareness for him has really developed over the past year, particularly with the role that they want him to play right now. Monty said he's much better this year about being a better target. And I think that that's been the great debate among the people who want the offense to run through Ayton and the people who feel like he's not making himself available. There's both sides are really correct. The Suns really don't look for him enough, but when they do look down there sometimes, DeAndre's not sealing his man. When DeAndre's sealing his man, they're not looking. It's just been this disconnect they've had for a while now, but we saw last night it was extremely effective, and it was a pure connection in that regard, and I think DeAndre has done a lot more work at being better at that, and that was the guy we saw last year, right, guys? I mean, he was just running up and down the floor, sealing everyone. And he can just dominate a game in that way because of how good of a defender he is and how good of a physical presence he is. He doesn't need these solo offensive moments that so many guys across the league need to dominate a game. He doesn't need that, and that's what makes him so special. And he's starting to come into his own more and more as like this super-duper role player kind of player. And I know this comparison makes no sense, but in the way that we think of Draymond Green as like a top 20, 25, 30 player in the league who makes the All-Star team despite being a guy who averages 8 points a game, I don't think DeAndre needs to average more than 15 points per game to be an All-NBA caliber center.
Yeah, that's a very interesting and very good point. Talking to Kellen Olson, Kellen, they've allowed less than 100 points in 7 of their last 11 games. Steph had, you know, however you want to measure it, the worst shooting performance of his career last night. How much of Steph missing shots do you attribute to the Suns? And then the second part of that is just when you are this good defensively, that's a pretty reliable characteristic, isn't it? Like, that's not something that just leaves you midway through the season as a team.
Right, yeah, and that's what made last night's game so fascinating for me, because we talk about, like, clashes in styles, right? Like, when the Clippers went small, it was like, okay, how can they utilize DeAndre? And I know the Warriors go small as well, but the Clippers play a different brand of basketball, whereas the Suns and Warriors, it's all about ball movement, it's all about defense. And to me, the defense for the Suns is what's always going to be what makes them the best team. If their defense is performing better than their offense, and their offense is pretty good, I think that's a sign of them really being a championship-caliber team, which I thought they were last year, and I think they are even more so this year. It was just a tremendous team effort, and Mikal Bridges deserves all the credit in the world and deserves to be in the conversations we've been hearing about with Defensive Player of the Year. He seems like a shoe-in for all defenses at this point already, which he should be considering the first 20, 25 games that he's had right now. But just the collective team effort and focus is something I wrote about a couple of weeks ago for them, where this team has a really strong ability of taking things in shoot around that they prep for specific for the game that night and having them directly translate in the game that night. And that was something we couldn't even really talk about with the Suns teams that were terrible because they were so young. And when I asked Monty about it, he just said, you can't do that unless you have veterans. And you think about Crowder, Paul, and the other pieces that they have, their ability to execute those types of things. And now DeAndre, Devin, Mikal, they've spent years doing this now. So they know how to do it as well. And I just think we saw it on both ends of the floor, but particularly defensively, they knew where they had to be for Steph. They were on their pickup points really well, which for Steph is once he crosses half court. And they just did a really good job of containing him as much as anyone can. But I, as a basketball fan, am very much looking forward to seeing how he responds on Friday. I'm guessing he is going to not shoot 4 of 21 again.
Are you concerned about Devin Booker and his pulled hamstring and the time he might miss?
No, not at all, Wolf. And I think there's a different way of looking at this. I think that we know what this team is, right? And we can look at the regular season and say, like, you're just getting ready for the playoffs at this point. And the similar, it's similar to the point that I made on Shamet in that this team can really start to learn now how they play without Book on the court.
Mm-hmm.
Chris deserved all the credit last year for being an MVP candidate for sure. But Kevin Zimmerman and I on the Empire of the Suns podcast, like at the end of the year, both agreed that Book was their best player last year. And I think he's been just about their best player this year, and just how much he impacts the offense and keeps it going. People think about his scoring. It's like, no, it's his playmaking. It's the way that he moves the ball. It's the way that he moves off of the ball that keeps the offense going. They need to learn how to score with him off the court like that, and they can spend this, whatever it is, a game, 2 games, 10 games, to really figure that out and go from there. And the Suns have the depth to not be in a spot where Book has to rush himself back. They've just won 17 games in a row. It's not like they need to start winning games for playoff position. They're completely fine. They're in a great position to just get better in a way that they couldn't if he was playing, to be honest. So I think there's a different way of looking at it that I think is going to be beneficial to them.
Kellen Olsen, always great to talk to you. And I remember having you on the rundown during that 2018-19 season when they won 19 games. So this is a lot more fun.
You know what they did that year too, Luke?
No.
They lost 17 games in a row.
Yes, I do. Vince,
now they're winning 17 games in a row. Isn't this more fun? I think this is more fun.
Yeah, we should keep doing this. I completely agree. Kellen, thanks a lot, man. Keep up the great work.
Thanks, guys.
That's Kellen Olsen joining us on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Get your price at 72sold.com. Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. When we come back, we'll have somebody else call in because the Coyotes split their back-to-back Monday and Tuesday in Canada and then Minnesota. We'll get into their win and loss with head coach Andre Tourney. Next, it's the Wolf and Luke Show, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. This is the Coyote Coaches Show with Wolf and Luke. Brought to you by Bell Ford, where it's all about the experience. One small step off I-17 in Bell, one giant Ford store.
The Arizona Coyotes have turned a bit of a corner now, 4-3-1 in their last 8 games. Before last night, they lost to Minnesota, but they had won 3 straight on the road, and joining us now is their head coach, Andre Tourney. Andre, I guess let's start in net. Karol Vemelka had an amazing performance on Monday, stopped 46 shots, got his first career shutout, but how much has it helped you and maybe him to have Scott Wedgwood there so you can kind of go back and forth and not have to lean too much on one guy?
I think you're bang on. I think that made a huge difference. I think we saw earlier in the season, Veg was phenomenal, but we run with him a little bit, maybe a little bit too much or whatever. The performance dropped a little bit, and then Wedge arrived at the right time, and he took over from there and give time to Veg to kind of a regroup and rest a little bit. And since then, Veg is phenomenal. So it's good to have 2 goalies who can help your team to win every night.
So, Bear, in the last 8 games, as Luke was saying, you're 4-3-1 right now. What are the common denominators? What has changed for you? Why are you playing better hockey?
I think it's a combination of things. Good goaltending, as well, our team identity. I think we know better who we are, what we have to do to win, what kind of type of hockey we need to play. And, you know, early in the season, everybody wanted to do so great, everybody was forcing it a little bit, was trying to get out of their comfort zone, out of their identity to try to help. Not because those guys did not know any better. They just competitive nature. You know, you want to win so badly, and we have a tight group of guys. They want to help each other, but sometimes you get out of your zone a little bit, and you try to do too much. I think Antoine Roussel said that lately. We are in every game. We know we will be in every game. We'll be a one goal game at some point in the game. So it's a few key plays in the game will make a difference. But we don't kid ourselves as well. Our goaltending is the number one reason why we're there in all those games.
Yeah, but that is a great point, like knowing who you are as a team and then playing to your strengths. Does it typically, you know, you had a lot of new players on this team. Obviously, you were new to the team this year, too. Are you surprised how quickly you've kind of gotten to the point where you guys know who you are and now you can try and win that way?
I think it's always kind of a, not a competition, but a job of every day. You know, we talk about culture. A culture, you need to cultivate it. If you don't, it's whatever you cultivated in your life, it's a battle of every day, you know. So it's not something you can take for granted. It's not something you can put on the shelf and say, okay, we're good now. We have a culture. No, it's something you will have bumps in the road. You will have you will have adversity at some point, and you will need to stay with it. And it won't always be perfect, and that's the way it is. So we did good stuff in the last couple of games. We're not satisfied in a sense that we always want to be better, and we want to keep getting better offensively and all of it. But like you said, it's positive. In the last 8 games, we're above 500, and in the last 12 games, we're about 500. So since that trip in Florida and all, we play much better hockey, and we're feeling better about ourselves.
You know, it's really interesting to me, Barry. You mentioned the last 8 games, of course, and at St. Louis, you beat St. Louis on the road. You beat you beat Los Angeles on the road. You beat Winnipeg on the road. That's three straight road wins until last night. Is there a common denominator as to what makes a good hockey team on the road?
There's a lot goes into it. If it was one thing, probably everybody could do it. But it's more than one thing. I think you need to be true to yourself. And we're a 4-line team. I think our first line is pretty dynamic lately. Our goaltending is pretty dynamic. If I look just the play of Clayton Keller lately, not just in producing point, the way he competes, the way he lead our team by playing the right way, doing the right thing, he show a lot of maturity for a young man, and where I think that contributed a lot. But having one reason why we have success, it will be, I wish it would be that easy. I think it's more than one factor. I think right now our best players are playing better, and our goaltending is good, and our player embrace their identity individually, whoever they are throughout the lineup, and we have more an identity as a team.
We're talking to Coyotes head coach Andre Tourney. Andre, you mentioned Clayton Keller there. I know we've talked to you about him in the past, and you were saying even before he went on the streak where he has 9 points in the last 7 games that he was already playing better. I just wonder, like, I know you weren't here last year, but how different is he now from even just when you first got here with camp and everything? Because in the past, he's been really good, but he's battled with inconsistency, and he does look different this year.
Yeah, you know, I cannot talk for him in the past, and he worked so hard. His competitiveness is the number one thing for me. I think, you know, if you look, top player in the league who sustained and who bring leadership to their team, it started with that competitiveness. Hockey is a kind of a sports where your best player has to be a complete player. They cannot be one-trick pony. They cannot be just one thing. They need to do everything right. And Kells is getting there in his career, and he's getting there in his mind. And that starts with your competitive spirit. You must want that. You must want to be really good at a lot of stuff are not on the game sheet, are not the most spectacular, but just driving the net, getting a screen for your goalie, having a really good bat check, being relentless on your puck pursuit and stuff like that. It's not what's most sexy, but it's what make your team better. And that's, there's a difference between being the best player of the team or being the best player for the team. You know that. So I think Kells is getting in that group right now. Now it will be the next step for him, will be the consistency. He needs to keep going. He's doing really good stuff. I'm sure he's feeling really good about himself, and we're feeling really good about him. But now that's one thing. Now it's sustaining is the toughest thing.
Vegas, of course, comes to town on Friday night. What are you going to have to do to beat Vegas, Coach?
I think for us, it's again, it's not a sexy answer, but we need to stick to our game. We're not, we don't have the type of talented team who can adapt this game depending on the situation. We have an identity, like we talk, we have a culture. We're a hardworking team who needs to grind the game, and we have a really good player who provide offense for us and can make a difference. We need to keep working on our puck possession so we can drag some penalty, draw some penalty. We have to force Vegas to take some penalty so our power play can get going and help us and keep playing well on our PK. And again, we'll need good goaltending.
Coyotes head coach Andre Tourney, we always like talking to you, man. Good luck on Friday.
Thank you, Coach.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Okay, thanks, man.
You too. That's Andre Tourney joining us right there as the Coyotes. Yeah, 4-3-1 in their last eight.
How about that, man? Honestly, they're just playing so much better. I'm so happy for him.
What he said about knowing who you are as a team, and Antoine Roussel did bring this up the other day too. It's like, we're not going to go out there and win games 6-5. We need to realize we are a win 2-1 or win 3-2 team. Once they did that, and it's not just like, hey, okay, this is what we are and we automatically win, but they, you can tell they're actually trying to play their game now, which is it's a better path to success.
Just watching Clayton Keller too. Boy, you want to talk, it's not a coincidence, is it? They're playing better as a team. As Clayton's playing a lot better.
He's playing a lot better, I think, over the last couple weeks than he's played in a couple years. Attention Cardinals fans, we are issuing a code red all next week as the division rival LA Rams invade State Farm Stadium for Monday Night Football, December 13th. Text red to 620-620 and listen for your name. 7:30, 12:30, and 4:30 next week. You'll win two tickets to see the Cardinals take on the Rams. You can't beat that. That's red to 620-620. We'll come back. Final thoughts on that win over the Warriors last night. That's how we'll wrap up the show, and maybe a little bit more from Kyler Murray as well. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Northwest Upstate New York, the Pacific Northwest. Wolf and Luke Middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
All right, I want to get this out there. Woj tweeted this out a few minutes ago. He said, Sun star Devin Booker is expected to miss a few games with his left hamstring injury per sources. It's considered minor, and the Suns plan to err on the side of caution with a long way to go for a team with title hopes.
Nice.
I mean, all things considered, that's about the best tweet you could get from Woj.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that right there. Okay, it's and it was his hamstring, but it's minor.
Minor hamstring issue.
Minor hamstring.
And he also called him a star, which is a little bit higher quality than some in the national media who are figuring out who Devin Booker is. But yeah, minor, and said the Suns plan to err on the side of caution with a long way to go for a team with title hopes. That makes perfect sense to me.
Sure does.
It's logical in every possible way.
Yep.
And, you know, you and I talked about this earlier. Kellen Olsen, we had him on as well. Not really concerned with how much it's going to impact the Suns. They, you know, if he has to miss, let's say, 8 games. I'm just throwing out a number. Do I expect the Suns to win all 8 without Devin Booker? Nah, it's kind of tough. He's your best player. But this is a team that could certainly still go 6-2 or even 7-1 in there, and it's the regular season and there's 61 games left.
You know, it's kind of like the conversation of Colt McCoy that we have all the time. You know, it's a good thing it happened. It is. Listen, Kyler Murray went 40 games. 40 consecutive games for Kyler Murray right there. There was a lot of people wondering about how durable Kyler Murray was going to be. How can he be 5'10 and an eighth and weigh 198 pounds or 205 pounds? How could you actually stand up in the National Football League to the kind of beating you're going to be exposed to? And listen, that narrative never developed. He has played in 40 consecutive games. And then, of course, he got nicked up here and he missed three games. It's great that your backup quarterback got the opportunity to go out there and show the team and show his teammates, hey, listen, we can still win. Just because Kyler might go down at some point in time, don't worry about it. You do your job. I'm good enough where if we go out and we play well together as a team, we can still win. That is so important. Now flip that back to the Phoenix Suns, of course, right now, right? I think it'll be a good experience. Kellen was talking about this, how to play without Devin Booker. It'd be a good thing for them, a few games, to go ahead and learn how to play without Devin Booker. I think that's a good point by Kellen.
Yeah, Kellen makes a lot of good points when it comes to the Phoenix Suns. And you know, it's funny, as I hear you talk, I'm like, yeah, typically I would be on board with that. Like, okay, well, here's a way to kind of fine-tune something. I don't know that they need it. You know, I think that they're fine just playing the way they are, but you're right. I mean, this could have been a lot worse. When you saw Devin Booker leave the game last night, it's like, great, really? Like, this is what could stop the Phoenix Suns right now? Only, like, Devin Booker or somebody really important to the what they're doing getting hurt. But, you know, they still win the game. It's a minor. It sounds like it's a minor hamstring thing. Yeah. I will just say this, and this is just me selfishly. I would like him back before Christmas Day.
Okay, yeah.
Christmas Day.
I'm with
okay?
you on that one. That's a good place to start, I think. A good place to look at and say, yeah, that's where it'd start getting annoying if he was not back by then right there. But, you know, again, it's to your point. It's not like the Suns suddenly are going to go 3-8.
I would be stunned.
Stunned if, in fact, that were the case.
And we already saw them win without Ayton. Remember? I mean, he was out, and they, I believe, won every game.
Yes.
I'd have to double-check that.
Yeah, you might want to go back and check that, but I think you are right on that, yes. But again, it's the depth. James Jones, oh my goodness, he deserves so much credit for the roster that he has built. He and Monty, of course. James Jones and Monty Williams, man, they have been prolific when it comes to creating the culture on this team and building the roster on this team and then coaching them and developing them and getting to actually play as a team. They deserve so much credit for that right now. It is, yeah, they just beat the best team by far and away. I think we'd all agree, the best team in the association. They just beat them without Devin Booker. And I realize he played 15 minutes, but still, I'm sorry.
You lost him mid-game, yeah. Here's the other thing. I have to laugh at this. So they win last night. They have the best record in the NBA. Look, the season doesn't end today. There's 61 games left. But if it did, you know who they're currently lined up to play in the first round? The Lakers.
Yeah.
Now, there's the play-in and everything, so, I mean, that would get jumbled up. But right now, the Suns are the one seed. Obviously, the Lakers are the eight seed. I will say this, though.
I'm not afraid when I say that.
I thought the Lakers were better last year than they are this year.
Yeah, I think you're right.
There is some importance, though, I think, to getting that one seed as opposed to the two seed in the West if it comes down to that. Because if you want to start looking bigger, and this is very early, I get that, but there's value to being the top team because in the second round, you're likely to play like Utah if it goes chalk if you're the number two seed. If you're the number one seed, there really isn't a fourth team in the West right now. Like Dallas is the fourth team, but that's that you talk about depth. They don't really have much behind Luka and a couple other guys.
Yeah, it's so, you know what, it's still so early though.
I mean,
we're just over a quarter,
as I speak, I realize how ridiculous it is.
Just over a quarter of a way through the season right now, and there's so much basketball that is going to change in the future. And I just don't know what it's going to look like in that last quarter of the season.
I want to play these two clips real quick here before we wrap up. Kyler Murray today, just because I don't know what he said yet. People asking him about the Oklahoma job and Cliff being linked to it.
I mean, I know Cliff. I don't really buy into it. Talked about what? if I'm him, I think he's got a pretty good job right now.
Yes, Kyler, I am with you on that one right there. Are you kidding me? He's got a great job right now, but it's good. Once again, it's good for Cliff personally. It's good for the organization. This is what we do. This is who we are. We hire capable people around here, and they're coveted by other teams and other entities. I mean, honestly, that's the way you want it to be. If you're an owner, you want your general manager to make good hires when it comes to coaches, good hires when it comes to players, good trades when it comes to players, so that other teams look at your team and go, man, I wish we had that.
I want to know if anybody asked him about the Thanos gif, if that was a Cliff gif or what that was.
Thanos.
Nobody asked him about that, but yeah. And we got to remember, Kyler went to Oklahoma.
We had to call Kyle Matt. Just Thanos.
Just start calling him. We forgot to ask Max about it. All right, next
oh,
week.
Oh, my goodness. You're
we have Max
failure.
On. I know. I blame
you're the
you.
Driver. No, are you kidding
don't
me,
pin
Luke?
Pin this on me.
All right. Knock it off.
Thanks to Jesse Morris, and thanks to Lauren Koval stepping in, doing a great job.
Drive!
For Wolf, I'm Luke Burns and Gambo next on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.